Let's make it happen, Captain.
From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Gov Maharaj.
Welcome to Defrag. Very excited to be here. I'm on vacation this week, so I just came in to do this. I just
want
to see
pre-vacation.
Your smiling face. Yeah, you're off next week.
I'm off, well, for part of it anyways.
Yeah, and then I'm in the UK, so probably no show next week, but don't worry, we will be back. So, in the summer of Larry, living like Larry, I've been seeing movies.
That's a triple O, man.
It is.
L cubed.
I'm not going anywhere, but I'm playing Kerbal, of course. I'm hanging out with the fam.
I've heard of some cool expansions coming into Kerbal.
Yeah.
They may already be there. You already know of them, but I was reading some articles about some a lot of improvements happening
in
Kerbal.
There are, and I've been talking to one of the folks at Squad. They make Kerbal. I might fly down and interview them because they're doing some really cool stuff and they're getting ready to have a big release sometime. I don't know when it is, but I want to be there. I want to document that. So I might go. If you're interested, let me know and I'll talk about that.
I'm interested in seeing a touch-friendly port of their stuff.
Yeah, me too. Me too. There's a couple things I'd like to see, a couple of changes and improvements, and I have messaged that on, and so don't worry. And then what else? So, been seeing movies. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Amazing
I give it my
movie.
Thumbs up.
Amazing
Incredible
movie.
Movie. The blockbuster hit of the summer, I would say, for me, anyway. And I saw Lucy, which I disagree with Golnaz. She's in there shaking her fists at me. I thought it was one of the worst movies I'd ever seen.
I've never even heard of this movie.
Well, I spoiled it for you. I told you what happens at the end, and you just kind of had a blank stare on your face.
Yeah.
So I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but the best part about the ending was that I was like, oh, I can leave now. It's like that. So
great. Now we get to hear your opinions on whether or not you agree with Larry or not.
Yeah, so you let me know if you disagree. You don't have to spoil the movie for Gove here like I did, but you could just say if you disagree or agree. And then at home, I got infected.
Your computer.
My computer. that's a more appropriate way of putting it. My computer got infected. I had three different malware packages on my computer. Windows Defender didn't alert me to those, and I ran it again afterwards with an update, and it just didn't see it. And you were saying that it might be, well, it appears that someone in my household was looking for some coupons to save money and might have installed something. So if it doesn't flag, it may not flag as
it
like...
It may not flag it on purpose if it doesn't actually do anything.
If you deliberately installed something.
Well, it's kind of a tricky balance, right? What a lot of people would consider to be bad is adware, right? And is not technically bad. It's just an annoying
modification of your computer in a way that it's
not
anticipated.
It's not purely bad, right? It's the kind of things that install toolbars where it steals your search page. It's like, is it bad? Yeah. I mean, I consider it bad, but a lot of people consider it their business model.
Yeah.
So, it's
and
like,
if you deliberately
really
installed
hard.
Something that has an uninstaller, let's be clear about that, and you've agreed to a terms of service that you did not read, I'm
correct.
Sure.
Correct.
And then you've kind of set yourself up for that. But I end up using Malwarebytes and got rid of it. And, well, it didn't get rid of it at first. Even after some reboots, it was still coming back. And so I had to delete temp and go through, uninstall a browser or two, and then go back and reinstall stuff. But I got rid of it finally.
So perhaps for the next time, someone that installed the software, maybe you could make that account a standard user account.
Yeah.
And not allow installs.
That would be a good idea, a standard user, if they would only log into that user before they'd walk up to my computer and do something, because I've got the good printer. So,
make it a network printer.
I
want to come over to your place and take a look at it and say, okay. Perhaps this actually requires a terminal server as opposed to, a device.
Yeah.
And you know, they get a roaming profile. They could log into any system, but, you know, their profile is stored up on a server that's locked down. Can't do anything to install software.
Okay,
with it.
Well, you're coming over and you're gonna set up my network.
This is kind of the way that I like to design things, right?
Good.
There's very little that you can do to mess it up.
Yeah. Well, good. You can play on the zip line when you're done.
All right.
Yeah, it's summer. It's summer, Larry. All right. Let's take the first one from Paul Mortlock, who sent me a Twitter message, one of the least effective ways to get my attention. And it says, on my Windows 8 machine, since I created a batch file, every now and then a series of about 6 command windows pop up. Why is this? It's just not enough information.
But I kind of want to guess now, right?
Yeah.
Let's dissect how many characters are there in a Twitter message?
140.
140. So in 140 character message, let's see if we can diagnose this problem.
Yeah, there's a reason we don't use Twitter for Channel 9 Live questions now, and part of that is the 140.
So he created some batch files, and at some point in time now, 6 windows are popping up.
Yeah.
So the only thing that would make me think about 6 windows, or, you know, multiple windows popping up,
yeah,
is that he's registered this batch program, this command script program, multiple times.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Now, he doesn't go into specifics about when this thing comes up, but let's take a few educated guesses. He could either have it starting up or popping up as he logs in, so on startup. So there's a few places for that. Let's see. So there's the run key, where it's HKLM, software, Microsoft.
It's a nice blast from the past seeing Macromedia in there.
Windows, current version, run, okay. So he might have it in his run key.
Okay.
He might have it in a startup group.
Mm-hmm.
Or the other method, you know, 6 windows kind of popping up, he could have had it as a scheduled task.
Yeah.
So he's either got it registered 6 times in trying to do something, or that batch file is invoking other commands that are doing, you know, some other chain of commands that are opening 6 different windows at the same time. So right now, given that piece of information, that very limited piece of information, it's the best that I can come up with is saying where a command script is being invoked from that could make this happen.
Okay.
The other potentially weird way would be as if that command script is the same name as another shortcut that he's got, and in the same directory, and is being referenced by name only, and the command script is being executed before the executable. That one's a little bit more of a stretch, though.
Okay. All right. So send us an email, Paul.
With screenshots.
Yeah, and next one from Yarrow Nezrael, which is a weird name. It's almost like someone's talking backwards. It's such a weird name.
Reminds me of the 80s, you know, when you play the record backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's trying to hear this.
Yarrow Nezrael. All right, how come when I run WinDirStat on an SSD, it isn't faster? It's not slow, but it still takes 30 seconds or so.
Well, you still have to enumerate the file system and actually get the size of the files.
So it's not just like, look at the fat table, boom, done.
Correct. Well, A, there's no fat table on an NTFS
system.
That's what
I'm saying, yeah.
Right. But no, it's not that simple. It still has to enumerate through all of it. It still has to say, okay, how do I group all of this stuff?
Yeah.
And, you know, WinDirStat still has to process that into some sort of graphical image. So
yeah,
it's not simply just reading off the disk. You know, there's still some processing that has to get done there.
Okay, all right. From David, there's an interesting problem I've noticed when setting up a Surface Pro 3. When creating an account that is joined a domain, apps from the store quit working. They would open and then immediately kick me back to the desktop or just hang at the splash screen and never load. Uninstalling and reinstalling these applications has since fixed them. Could the current folder permissions for Windows packages been modified in some strange way that are causing these apps to fail?
Absolutely, as more than likely some group policy that's been pushed down or a script that's been pushed down, a login script that could have messed up the permissions on the folder.
Okay.
It's potentially likely to happen again. So if you can isolate down what is executing or what kind of group policies that is being applied, that would be a big help.
Okay.
Unfortunately, anything that runs with admin privileges, you know, domain scripts, can affect the Windows Store apps if they're modifying permissions that they, you know, usually what that is they will try to add a new ACL to something, but instead of simply adding an ACL, they'll put down, here's the set of ACLs that are required, and that will overwrite the all apps packages ACL on various, whatever it is that they're touching.
Okay, cool. From Adam, first, love the show. If you solve this, there may be a beer in it for you. So get excited.
All right. Root beer.
Here we go. We would like to create a small kiosk station for our users to clock into dynamic time clock. We currently have the time clock running on a remote app server. We have some spare iPads, so I installed the RD client that Microsoft released. I connected to our remote app server in the remote resources section, but only half of our apps show up. Problem is, the time clock is one of those apps not showing up. I've checked on our TS server and all the apps are set to RD web access yes. If I turn them off, they get removed from the RD client. Time clock remote app works on workstations and through the RD web. Why are they showing up and why some aren't?
We actually went through a back and forth on this one, and he was able to solve it himself by renaming the shortcuts. I believe he stripped out spaces, or he renamed it to a shorter name. And it's weird because he's had other apps that had longer names.
Yeah.
So there's something very specific about the way that these were showing up their app titles. But I've since pinged the RD folks on this to see if they've ever encountered this issue before.
Yeah.
Last that I heard is that they have not reproed the problem.
Okay. All right. From Chris, a coworker's laptop screen crapped out 5 minutes before an important presentation, so I had to do an emergency hard drive swap from her old machine, a Dell Vostro 3750, to a new machine, a Dell Inspiron 7720. It booted up and everything was fine until she got back to her desk after the meeting, tried plugging in a USB mouse and it wouldn't work. We get no notifications that we're plugging in anything in, and no power is going to any devices that we've tried, and we've tried all the ports without success. I swapped the drives back again to confirm that USB is working, so I don't think it's the hardware. I know the most ideal solution is just reinstalling, but I'm really hoping I can fix this instead. Any ideas to troubleshooting? Reinstalling isn't just ideal. It's really important.
It's really, really important. I mean, these are two completely different machines.
Yeah, and
different firmwares, different drivers, different components.
And I could say go to the Dell site for the new hardware and find the USB driver, whatever, and install that. Maybe the mouse might work or USB might work or something, but I do you no service in telling you to do that, because there's going to be other things that are will cause problems. So I would just flatten that machine, reinstall, and make sure that you have a good
I'd actually put that swapped hard drive back into the original machine. You said that the hard drive crapped out.
Yeah.
Fine. Get a brand new drive. Like, you right now, you can't trust anything. You pulled a drive out of an older machine, right? That already has some mileage on it.
Yeah.
Why would you want to now take the risk of reinstalling the OS on that old drive in that new system? You're just running the risk of having that drive crap out again.
Save a few minutes by going that route, but you're going to burn a lot more time in the long run when you start having other problems, or why to do this, or it's such a weird problem, and well, that's probably why. So
here's another option for you. However, I love this option just for this exact scenario. Something happens to my system, right? An update gets installed, a drive goes bad, whatever. I can no longer use a particular system, my main machine. Create a Windows to Go drive based off that, based off of your machine. It's essentially a runtime backup, right? If you create it, you know, relatively frequently, whenever you might need it, after you install an app, after you get updates, you resync to it, right? If anything goes wrong, you pop in that drive and boom, you are ready to go.
Yeah.
And you just keep that as a backup. It's an instantaneous backup.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You don't even need to have it on the exact same hardware, and which is the beauty of it. If your hardware actually goes, let's say you get bad RAM, which, oddly, I haven't seen in a long time, but I digress. Mm-hmm. You can pop that Windows to Go drive into a different system and it makes no difference. You are still golden.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that option.
All right, good one, good. From David, I've noticed that after restarting, shutting down, or resuming from Hibernate that I can't swipe the lock screen to unlock it for about 10 seconds. Hitting a key on the type cover will allow me to unlock immediately. Once I lock the screen, switch users, or log out, unlock is immediate upon a swipe and responsive. Any way to troubleshoot this?
It sounds like your digitizer is not yet available for touch. I haven't seen that too frequently. It may be a hardware problem. I would say start looking for any updates on your system, especially related to touch.
Yeah, okay. From Toby, I created a scheduled task to clean up temp folder. When I ran it, I got this result. The operator administrator was refused to request 0x800710E0. My command line is a PowerShell script pointing to the user's profile and located on OneDrive. Why do I get the error? If I manually run the command in PowerShell, it works fine.
So it sounds like you're trying to run a PowerShell script from a OneDrive location located under a user from a system context. What you probably want to do if you're trying to create clean up temp stuff is do it only when that user is logged in. Run it as the user. If you're trying to clean up a central location, you know, a machine-specific central location, move that script into, you know, like the root of C scripts or something like that.
Yeah.
Make sure that the system account has permissions for that. But otherwise, just set that up as a scheduled task only when your user is logged in.
Yeah. Okay. From Robert, is there a way to merge Microsoft accounts? And then a long description of why he needs to merge Microsoft accounts, but we can save all that time.
I wish there was. I've not seen any method of merging Microsoft accounts.
Yeah.
The only thing that you could ever really do is slowly let one or many of your accounts die.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just move to one specific one. The other thing that you can do is create aliases with your main Microsoft account that aliases your old Microsoft accounts.
Yeah.
And like I say, you just kind of have to let them die. It's unfortunate, but yeah, there is no good method of merging them.
Okay. From Chris, I currently have been using my Windows 8 desktop with two screens to remote desktop into a Windows 7 Ultimate desktop. With use all my screens enabled, and it uses both monitors as expected. I've just added a third monitor to my Windows 8 desktop, and my remote desktop to my Windows 7 machine. I do not want the third monitor to be used.
I'm going to point to a blog post about using multiple monitors, and the old feature of using multiple monitors was Span Mode, MSTSC WAC Span. There is a newer one, MSTSC WAC Multimon, which allows you to have true Multimon support.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some group policies that you can set, assuming that you're connecting to a TS server, so like a server 2008R2, where you can limit the number of monitors per session. Which may or may not help you. I'm not entirely certain. This is not something that I usually have set up.
Yeah.
Whenever I've only had to utilize a couple of my monitors, I just don't put it into a maximized mode, and I just use it in windowed mode.
Okay. Cool. All right, pick of the week time. Pick of the week. And the first pick of the week, the most important one, is Hyperlapse. And I want to show this to you. You've probably already seen it. It was a viral video. It had well over 1 million views, maybe 1.5 million views on YouTube. And it's some work that was done out of MSR from a group of people who took videos that, you know, typically you have this long video of you passing through a space. And the best way in the past has been to either just speed up the video or use some kind of image stabilization system that crops the video and tries to make it so you're not moving around so much. This uses a programmatic method to actually determine the 3D space that you're going through and pick out the best frames that highlight what it is that you're trying to look at dumps everything else, and then builds this this new video that you can use.
So to me, it feels like dream mode.
It is dream
flight mode. You know,
it is. It does seem like a dream. Well, the interesting thing with this is I got a chance to interview Johannes this week, and so we're going to be putting that video out in a week or two, and some really interesting stuff that we covered there. So he talks about, like, you know, how he came up with it, the challenges that they had. It takes a tremendous amount of compute, and so he talks a little bit about that and some of the ways that they've solved the big problems that they had, and where he wants to see it go in the future, which is a really interesting conversation. So watch for that. It'll be an MSR Luminaries post, and we'll have that up, sometime maybe around the week of the 26th. And then the other thing that Gove wanted to talk about, we got another one, is this mouse thing on his computer.
So I'm sure folks, you know, interacting with websites or applications using no keyboard, you know, just in tablet mode, sometimes you can't, you know...
If you're on a site that has really small things if you're to get...
Yeah, the touch targets might not work all that well. So there's an app called Touch Mouse Point. It's a third-party application. Some folks, I'm sure, may already have heard of it. But I find it to be super useful because what it allows you to do is actually have a mouse pointer while you're touching with right clicks and left clicks.
So it like adds a trackpad to your screen.
It adds a trackpad to your screen, exactly.
I love that. That's awesome.
It is super useful. You know, right now there's a setting that you actually have to double tap in order to make it a single tap. You can change that setting, but I actually like it. So the URL we'll have in the show notes. But yeah, here it is. You can just do a search for it, Touch Mouse Pointer. It's freeware. They update really rather frequently. Super useful.
Cool. And then I have one last pick of the week that I wanted to talk about. So it is the summer of Larry, and I'm trying to find a replacement for my Segway, which is on its last legs. I got a Segway like right when they first came out, and so I've had this thing for 10 years now, and it is giving up the ghost. It's not going to go much further. And so I've been looking for something fun to replace it, and I think I found it, although it might be too far out of my budget. It's the Stealth Bomber Bike. So yeah, this is a 4,500 watt bicycle, so you can pedal it.
Bicycle.
Yeah, bicycle, with air quotes. And you can pedal it along the path if you like. But the really cool thing with this is you give the little grip on the right side a bit of a twist, and it can go up to 50 miles an hour. And, you know, because it's a bicycle, because it's electric, you can be in places that you normally couldn't be with a motorcycle. And so it's great for the Pacific Northwest. And, yeah, so there's a company over in Seattle, and they have one. And I'm going to go over there and see if they'll let me try it out and at least see what it's like firsthand. But there's a video that I'll link to in the show notes that... looks very, very interesting. So, yeah.
Do you know if you can charge it by pedaling?
So it's got, I forget what it, it's the same thing as, the same method as the Segway, whereas if you're going down a hill, there's a red button on the left side, and you just hold that down, and it'll start charging the battery from the hill.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it's not, you know, as efficient as plugging it into the wall, but sure, you can recoup some of that
exactly,
power.
Exactly, yeah, use gravity to your advantage.
Exactly, yeah. So... that looks interesting. There's some of the lower cost bikes. Prodeco makes one, and it doesn't have the pedal assist, and it doesn't have, like, you know, the recharging down a hill. So, you know, the lower cost, you're kind of trading that off. You don't get that recharge.
I consider this the, you know, apocalypse bike.
Yeah, yeah.
I would love this.
Yeah, and they make a couple of different models. They make a Stealth Fighter, which just doesn't go as fast or as far. And they make the Hurricane, which doesn't even have pedals. They're not even trying to kid anyone. It's a motorcycle. It's not a bike. And I don't think that I would get very far down a bike path with that thing. At least with this one, you can act like you're pedaling along and you're really using a little bit of electricity. But yeah, the Hurricane, you're not going to fool anyone. You're just going to have the cops throwing you off the bike path. So there's that. So that is the show for this week. I am back on vacation, and we will see you the week after next.
Take care. Keep the questions coming.